Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Self-Improved. And this episode's so unique. I actually stumbled across this interview. That's how I'm going to put this, because I want to just ask Tony one question. And I actually ended up getting to hear his ambitions, a bit about his life. And I got to get to know this guy way better. Like, you're going to literally get to hear me make a friend. Or, well, I classified him as a friend already. He's a client of one of my colleagues. But our bond got deeper, and I really got to know him deeper today, and you actually got to witness this on camera. Like, you know those conversations that you have with someone who you're kind of superficial with, and all of a sudden it just takes the one conversation to make y'all tighter? Well, now I can say he's like a mishpoche, you know, someone who's like family is what it, but a loose term of that. Anyways, enjoy my interview with Tony here. All right, people, the one and only Tony, who sadly couldn't make it on the last episode. However, Tony, so our parents, they get to see us grow up. We don't realize we get to see them grow up, right, at the same time. So just like young people go through phases and their personalities sometimes change, or attributes are built or lost, do you find, like, your parents had any phases, any personality changes? What do you think?
Like from when they started growing up, or
just that you can recollect?
Oh, that I can even remember.
Yeah.
So personality changes and or phases.
And for phases, for example, my mother for like a year or two loved fake lashes, but doesn't wear them anymore. It was like a little phase, and this was not too long ago, so I could recognize that, just like a teenager going through a phase. You know, and there are times where I see she's more mature about certain things compared to when I was like 10.
Okay.
If I look back, I don't know. What do you think?
I'll rule out my dad to begin with, because he's in the Navy and super embedded with the way he does things.
Yeah.
He'll like bitch at me for not having the same color socks on or something.
Yeah,
but he's not
like,
he's never rude or like mad about anything. He's like super calm and chill about everything, which is surprising again. So nothing with him that I even realize. My mom, damn, this is hard.
Well, we don't realize
it. I might not even realize that they're changing. I guess my mom, maybe with her diet and stuff.
Maybe if you recall.
If I can recall her, could it be like eating habits and all that?
100%. You know how teenagers.
Sorry, mother, but eating habits. Gotta stop eating. So definitely eating habits, because she was type 2 diabetic when my sister had a car accident and years ago.
Wow.
So she checked her blood sugar. It was like 20 or something, deathly level. And then basically her eating habits have gone better. What's gone worse, she loves to shop. I don't know why, she shops like crazy.
Compared to when you were just a young kid.
Yeah. Really? She goes out almost on a weekly basis and just starts buying
some
shit.
Some therapy shopping, you know?
It's like
retail therapy.
Just random shit. It'd be socks, t-shirts for everyone. And I'm like, man, mom, where do you have all this money from? So basically, those are the only two things that I could really think of. So
interesting. No,
and I got a question to you, because I asked this to Ben.
I'm curious.
But how much you value where you're at right now? So would you take Elon Musk's age for his net worth? So it's like, he's 49 right now, or 50.
Yeah.
Would you be 50-year-old Zev, but have $200 billion?
Okay.
With the snap of the finger.
My gut decision says yes. Because right away, generational wealth, I would take care of the next 2,000 years of my family.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, if I look a little further, let's look at the pros and cons. Right now, we are time billionaires, right? Like, we have so much time.
Yeah, exactly.
More than anyone. And so, in that case, and you hear quotes of what investor says he would give a young person all his money for his time, because like you can't get that back, where he can make your money again.
Definitely.
You can make your money. Final conclusion, if I had really to think about this, man, assuming, so it's literally just like age and money, that's it,
it's
just
like,
age.
Yeah, you are a 50-year-old Zev, and now you have $200 billion.
Oh, that's
or whatever he's worth.
I see, the cool answer would be no, because of the life I live and I'm grateful for it, but I have to say yes, because I think I would still be able to be healthy, and the freedom, and just opportunities, and just, it's, the grass is greener on the other side. I hate to admit that. I know.
That is tough. You're one of the first persons that actually said yes that I've asked. That's been around our age, like you're 97.
I would say, mainly because of what I know about finance and how easy things would just be. And You could take care of so many people. Think of the philanthropy.
Yeah, definitely. That's the one side of it for sure. I see the one side where you want to enjoy these 30 years, but life's so crazy. I don't know if you'll have 2, 3, let alone 30 years to get to that point. So I asked my dad that.
What did he say?
Well, he's older. He'd take that in Arby's. He said,
of course.
But no, he said he'd give up everything he has, and he does really well. He said he'd give up everything he has to be me.
Oh, and just have time.
Yeah, definitely.
Would he go back to have time again? Is that something?
Yes.
Really?
He's like, he'd give up every dollar he had and every asset to be my age.
To just be young.
He's like,
again.
Not even. He'd be 40. And he's like 55.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's like, just to be like literally even 40. Just to be 40. 22.
Get out. I see. Have you heard of Mary's Room?
No, not Mary's Room.
The Mary's Room predicament. It's a woman named Mary knew everything about color.
Mm-hmm.
Down to the electromagnetic wave.
Yeah.
But she lived in a black and white room. She had never seen color
before.
She's
never seen it, but she knows everything.
She knows everything about it, theoretically. Mm. One day she opens the door and sees color and steps out and goes, now I understand what it's like to see color. She knew everything about it. She just didn't understand what it felt like. What it,
yeah. So that feeling is better than all that knowledge ultimately to her? Or do we not know?
Okay, that's one take.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, the message is we hear advice, mm-hmm. but do we really intrinsically understand it?
Mm-hmm.
Think about little things we hear in life. It could be like time flies. That's something we hear a million flies, and then people are like, yeah, time flies, doesn't it? But they don't actually know.
Yeah, it's one year in through one year out the other. Yeah.
It's the Mary's Room problem.
Yeah.
That they know about time flying. It's like a mental model. They know that time flies. They just don't know what it feels like for time to fly.
Yeah. I've noticed that recently too, but I guess it's one of those things where you become more aware of tips and things people are trying to tell you when it benefits you currently rather mm-hmm. than you down the future, you know what I mean?
Say that one more time.
So, for instance, like when someone says like time flies, if we haven't experienced that being a kid, it just in through one ear out the mm-hmm. other, but mm-hmm. if it generally applies to us, whether or not it's like something we're trying to get into finance and someone's trying to give us tips on finance, for instance.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
That's affecting us almost immediately because you're like seeking that type of tip or knowledge,
right? Yeah, yeah,
but if
for
it's
sure.
not something that you need ultimately right now, it's almost like that greed kind of.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
I do. And actually, you know how earlier I said the grass is green on the other side as part of that Elon Musk thing? That right there is the Mary's Room problem. I can say the grass is greener on the other side.
And
all
it
I
could
want.
Definitely
we,
not be here. Right?
We've heard it this is, all the time, right?
This could be the heaven, right? When we die, that could be the hell. Right?
Oh, exactly, dude. Oh, that's deep. But that's exactly it. Is one day there will be a day where I'll go, oh, now I get the whole grass is greener on the other side saying. Yeah. But right now, I think I do.
Yeah,
I just hear it a lot. Anyways. You'll now that I've said that, trust me, you'll notice a ton of things.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you'll go, oh, my mom or my dad used to always say that, and now I get it.
Yeah, definitely. I noticed that actually, too. They always talk about time and time being on your side, and I didn't realize until ultimately now.
Dude, someone told me the other day, actually, our parents, when we are babies and infants and even toddlers, they love us more than we love them. We're more dependent on them, but they love us more.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it kind of flips, actually. Sometimes as people get older, they start to love their parents more than the parents might love them.
Yeah, definitely.
And this is just theoretical, but someone had said, what is that denominator? It's giving. Parents are giving so much. It's natural as human beings. When you give, you love.
They don't do it in the sense to get something back, ultimately.
No, you're right. It's selfless.
I don't know. I don't want to say on behalf of everyone, but... on behalf
that's a good
of
point,
a decent
though.
Amount of people, they give not to get something in return, but ultimately to set that person up so that they don't need that financial.
They don't need
sort
it. Yeah.
Help it is,
you
right?
nailed it. It's like giving without expecting in return. That's and there's a Jewish word, a mitzvah, is that like giving mitzvah. Without expecting to receive
that.
Yeah, because
my dad would always tell me like. Basically, his goal, he doesn't want anything in return. He just wants us up on our feet a bit quicker. He's not trying to rush us to the point of where, like, jump on your feet and you're
no,
already
knocked down. No, of course,
to the point of where he our treat to him is, hey, he doesn't have to worry about us financially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Obviously, he'll help 100%. Us, but not be 100%. Literally so dependent on every dollar. Right?
No, of course. So, dude, and
a lot of stress. So. Financial freedom. Like,
well, financial, and how old are you, Tony?
22.
So we're pretty much the same age. I'm 24. I just turned 24. And my mother was telling me the other day, it's weird that for the last few years now, all her children have been living their own lives, like they don't.
Yeah.
Like we've all moved out, so we all
how many
can.
Siblings?
I have four other siblings.
Four siblings.
Yeah. There's five of us.
Damn.
Anyways, and I'm the youngest. So what? Anyways, it's just interesting. Like, it's this weird feeling that, you know, parents don't expect the day where they're like, oh my gosh, I don't have to spend money on my kids anymore.
Yeah, exactly. No.
You know.
Yeah,
and heck, and then we're that. The ones, we're the ones now, I mean this about the giving thing, because it hit home when the last almost 3 years, because that's how long I've moved out, is it's the amount of love for my mother. It's crazy, like, just when I realize how much a parent gives throughout our whole life, like, talk about wanting one day to cut her a six-figure check and say thank you. Like,
yeah, I wish.
You
I
know, honestly.
It's like a... Eight,
nine, no, no, no.
Yeah, it's just like.
I'm just saying, man.
Yeah.
I
get what you're saying with that.
It's the, dude. It's the giving.
Just the appreciation. You don't really appreciate it until it becomes.
Yeah, you don't get it till you're there, and so that's what I was saying. It's like, now we're able to give more, right? Like, we'll, you know. Our mom comes out for dinner and there's three of us, like my sister, my brother, and
yeah,
I, like,
yeah.
We'll split the bill on her. She doesn't have to pay.
Yeah.
It feels good.
The small things like
the
that.
The small that it feels like, yeah. And it, so anyways, when someone said that, it resonated a little harder.
It's all about the little things, right?
Giving, right? Giving's everything. Dude, in The Science of Wellbeing by Dr. Lori Santos, it was this life-changing course I took.
Okay.
Have you heard of this Yale course for free online?
I have not, no.
The Science of Wellbeing, man.
Science of Wellbeing?
Blew my mind. Scott and I, in the first lockdown, participated together in this. It's 10 weeks. Really, it's 7. And by 7 weeks, each week is like a 2 hours of video. And I sped it up. So, anyways, the whole thing isn't too long.
Right here? The course?
Yeah, oh, it's life-changing. So one of the things was a study on giving money to people to spend on themselves versus others. And when they did surveys, obviously the people who spent on others felt better about it. Oh, Benny's in the building. Benny.
You got a dash.
Dang it.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
So,
okay, I'm going to sign up for this.
Bro, it's really fun, honestly. And you can take your time doing it. Yeah, this course, I have all the notes still, so if you go week by week, we can talk about each week.
Do I learn, do I gotta engage with others about what I'm learning, or is it just gonna be
no,
private
no,
about
no, stuff? No, you can just do it yourself,
yeah,
but I took notes for fun.
Yeah.
Anyways, and don't even get me started. I'm actually, one of these podcasts I will speak on just maybe a couple weeks of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Because there's so many deep topics. One of them was, these people that gave money felt happier than those that used the money on themselves.
Yeah.
So she concludes with, like, the irony that self-care day, we think of like going to the spa or watching a movie. In reality, you should be paying for someone else to go to the spa
exactly,
and movie,
maybe
with you, but spending money on others is the way to be happy.
Yeah.
No, honest to God.
That's the one thing I want to do in my life is ultimately attain the most amount of money for no other reason than the fact that the more I have, the more I can help. In other words,
I couldn't agree more. That's awesome. You're an outlier, Tony.
It's not that I'm saying that as I'd be greedy and whatever.
No.
It doesn't take a lot for me to be happy. And sure, if I did have a lot of nice things, I'd be super grateful, like I am with not many nice things, right? But that's just my ultimate goal, is to
for sure.
to do that for people. Like,
be able
randomly
to give.
Go down the street, it's like, you know what? Like, here's $100 of this kid.
Or
shoes.
Or like,
this,
tip someone while, well, yeah.
Yeah,
something.
So.
Or even just like, you can take a parent on a vacation.
Yes, that's my.
Wouldn't that be so nice?
That's what I plan on doing pretty soon, honestly.
That's
I have a lot of money tied up right now with schooling.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah, of course.
I got to pay for school pretty soon.
Yeah.
It's only 18 months film school.
No way.
But it's north of $40,000, I think. So
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Right? For sure. 100%.
But you learn a lot of experiences, life-lasting. So that's ultimately...
Take care, Brent.
Later, Brent. That's ultimately why I did that. It's been a passion of mine for my whole life. Been something I
that's
was
unreal
not to do.
I didn't know that. I didn't know
yeah.
you were in film.
I will be enrolling. They don't have any classes yet due to
well,
COVID.
Yeah,
it's all
but still.
I'm waiting to enroll I'm waiting to enroll when classes are all open. It should be like later this year, I would assume, maybe early next year.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter, but
that's really cool.
Learning languages is something I want to do. It'll only strengthen my ability to do that well. So I'm learning sign language in Spanish, my fourth and fifth language.
Get out! I didn't know that. You're gonna be a polyglot soon.
Hopefully. It'll be good for auditions if they ever want to put me in something. But
yeah.
The reason why I chose to do this is you get to be someone else for once.
100%.
It's like that lack of greed. You're reading
100%.
A script. And you are now not you for this time, right?
That's
like
so
something
cool.
Really empowering. And I try to practice my emotions with my friends on my PlayStation parties, or whether or not it's going around. I'm like randomly an asshole sometimes. I'm randomly like super nice. I'm randomly just like really sad for some reason. I could trigger things like crazy.
Just take some time.
I listen to some music and start crying right away.
Dude.
Just all that practice, and then my friends don't even know, so I come off as being like crazy.
That's so funny. I love that you are like practicing for the. That's how the best do it, though. They're able to just turn that switch on.
It's to live it, right?
Yeah, hell yeah. Well, method acting, right? They go around and literally pretend to be someone.
So for that...
That's so cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I could... Basically, once I get the certification with auditions and stuff, once you have the certification, it shows potential people hiring you that you are committed. You're committed to succeeding and committing to doing that ultimately,
like
saying, wow, he went to 18 months of schooling for this, right?
Right.
So he's serious about it. In terms of getting in is really easy. They give you like a little audition. They try to like fool you, try to break you sometimes, but it's really easy. They just talk to you over the phone. If you don't have a clip yet of ever being in a play, they ask you like a 2-minute video to send over.
Yeah.
I didn't have that. I was supposed to be in a Shakespeare play. It was last year. It's 2021. So last year was the one that was supposed to happen. COVID ruined that. The year before, I was trying my hardest to get in that. So we're talking late 2020 is when I was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Late 2019 is when my friend was trying to prepare me. He's like, you just don't have it. Like, you're not really trying. I wasn't really trying. I kind of regret that.
What are some barriers stopping you? And what's your optimal goal? If you look 5 to 10 years,
optimal goal.
What are some of these goals?
I want to land a role somewhere, which is more likely than not, due to however many auditions you do, hundreds a day. Literally, they're constantly casting.
I see.
Whether or not it's on an app like Backstage, it's called.
Oh, sick.
Or through the film school itself.
And so that goal of being in a role in 5 to 10 years, having a role of some sorts. What are barriers to that?
Barriers to that is myself, ultimately.
Oh, literally yourself. Is that like a mindset thing? Is that like
mindset,
your beliefs
ultimately.
Or what?
Beliefs, but no.
Or is it like attitude? Or are we talking?
It's not like, for instance, landing a role is so broad. Because you can land a commercial. You can land, that's like a role still. You're still landing something really small.
Right, no, but it's still a role, man.
Of getting something like your sellout movie theater, like a Titanic, that's rare. That is definitely rare,
but it's a
build up to that.
Of course.
And ultimately, they're always going to need people to do specific things, right? Like, for instance, my favorite actor, one of my heroes is DiCaprio.
DiCaprio
can't play the Terminator, no matter how good of an actor he is.
I see.
It's not him, right?
I see.
He can be Jay Gatsby, he could be on Titanic, he could be whatever he wants, but he just can't be ultimately. That person.
He's just never
he's
gonna
just,
play
him, right?
Rambo. Like like.
So it takes a different person to know.
I see. That's interesting.
My goal would be land on like a smaller show, whether Netflix, whatever it may be.
Oh, sick.
Something. The way they catch younger talent. Even a 30-year-old actor is considered a relatively young actor these days.
Right.
Horror films is a good one because they're low budget. They don't got to pay the actor much.
Yeah.
Way to get some good talent. They did that on Jaws. They did that. Halloween a lot. Show either like a smaller time show, some sort of flick like that, anything. And my ultimate goal, you gotta separate yourself from other people, right? Whether or not it's getting in good shape, learning more languages, doing this, doing that, you're separating yourself from being that potential person that they want, ultimately. Because they could use that as, like, a diversification. Be like, wow, we can put him here, we can put him there, we can put him there, right? I do notice... It'll be hard, though. One of the hardest things I've learned to be is sad, and even in audition, being sad is hard.
Oh, I see.
You're so happy you have that opportunity to get the audition, right?
Yeah, you're chipper.
That's like being sad is that much harder, right? So
that's why I'm.
But you just gotta practice. You gotta practice. You have to try your best ultimately. And no matter what, I genuinely believe everyone will land something.
Something, for sure. Especially
absolutely,
if you practice the craft.
Something. Yeah.
Now, okay, you talked about this one goal career-wise of yours. Now, I love tying in other aspects of life. So, like, are there any goals that intersect? Are there any things you're going to have to sacrifice because of this, right?
Other goals I want to do, I know that getting the certification of film, unless I actually blow it out of the water in film school, because ultimately you're still competing with a smaller group.
Right, technically, yeah.
Your average age of the lady told me is 28, so I'd be 6 years younger. Probably 5'4" when I
eventually go. Yeah, who cares?
The hard thing about that is going to be, so getting it done, the certification, and then it's a long process, right? You may not land a role in 5, 10, 20 years. You may not land one. You might land one in the week following, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you still need a career ultimately, right? You could do film for full time, but if you're not landing roles, you're not getting paid, you're not getting this, right? So for me, my actual career-wise is either policing or aviation.
Oh, and then you're going to side hustle some acting?
Yeah, like, I genuinely love acting. But I will try my best in all auditions and still do my things. So the cool thing, what I want to do first is get my certification for acting.
Yeah, yeah.
And then pursue my actual passion of a career.
Yeah, yeah.
Aside from acting, because I could always do auditions whenever I want. So
for sure.
I think that would that would be what would be getting in the way, ultimately.
And then, so would you have to sacrifice family life? Would you have to sacrifice income? Would you have to sacrifice location? Like, what aspects of life do you think you have to sacrifice
for those gigs?
You know, because I feel like there's always going to be sacrifice.
A lot of the bigger times you get auditions, a lot of times they film is in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
So you do filming from Toronto, and they could send that over there for different auditions.
Yeah.
It's an example. From that point on, I guess locating to a place that would have more connects or more ability to put yourself out there,
mm-hmm.
whether or not that's Australia or there.
Oh, I see. Oh, wow.
Right?
Wow.
Could be all over the place.
I see.
No matter what, if I find a place I'd move to, I'd make sure that sits well with my career choice of either policing or aviation. It's like 51 aviation, 49 policing, personally.
I see.
I really like aviation a lot.
That's cool.
So
I had a client who flew planes and fixed them.
Big airline or?
So he did small stuff, and then he did finally get a job to, I think, WestJet, but he had to move.
He had to move away, so.
So that's why I don't train with him. Anyways.
Yeah, so basically with that, that's the main thing that's in my way. Definitely.
That's cool, man.
The sacrifice of time, because you could genuinely be anyone you want to be in this world, right?
Yeah.
I even lie sometimes to people, basically telling them I want to be like a doctor, for instance. Because that comes off as being smart.
Oh, and it's interesting. So you'll tell
when you say I want to be an actor, it comes off as being dumb because they look at the odds. They're like 7 billion people, that many actors. But I'm like, how many of the 7 billion have actually tried to become one? I don't know one person that's even tried to become one.
Right.
I got a high school full of 1,000 people. Not one of them have even tried. So
yeah.
You look at the oh, sure, it's rare. But sure, not many people are trying to become.
That's fascinating. Have you ever heard of the halo effect?
The halo effect. I'm getting hairs in my ass. The halo, I actually haven't. No.
So no, it's these kind of things you know about, just people put names to them, is you tie in other attributes based off one piece of behavior someone does. For example, someone is on their phone at the stoplight. You right away start ridiculing, judging. Even though you don't know anything about them, all you know is one thing.
They
could
be terrible.
They could have a really hard life. Yeah,
they could be
a great person. Maybe that was the first time
they could
ever
be a terrible person. But hey, you don't know that.
But you
right?
don't know, and that's the, and then classic study done on the halo effect.
Yeah.
Attractive photos, people put that they thought they were more intelligent. The attractive people were more intelligent.
Definitely.
Even though we know that's not true.
No,
like,
definitely not.
Intelligence has no correlation with looks.
For instance, like when I thought of that, I thought of like the odds of becoming an actor, for instance. That's what it tied into when you told me that.
Yeah.
I didn't know this, but statistically speaking, there are less surgeons in the world than there are celebrities.
Oh, really?
So surgeons, I forget where I saw that. It was like, what's harder to become?
That's
it was
incredible.
Like an odd. It's like a big movie star or a neurosurgeon. It's like, oh, he definitely a movie star.
Right.
But it's actually the neurosurgeon. Why? You could blatantly be an actor based off being good looking.
Literally,
okay? Yeah. You can't be a surgeon being good looking. I mean, you can.
It's so true.
But not just solely on being
good looking. Yeah, I don't think.
It's called 16 years of school at its highest level.
Yeah. That's a good point, man. I never heard that before.
So that's my take on that. So if someone could operate on someone's brain, why can I not do this?
No,
so
I gotta try my best. That is such a good mindset.
I gotta keep trying. I know it's gonna happen. I envision it.
Oh,
trying
dude,
to manifest it.
Definitely envision it.
I can't stop thinking about it every day.
Well, you
as
know,
much
about,
as it stresses me out or excites me at the same time, but
Don't know if it stresses you out or excites you.
It does both.
Oh, it does both. Yeah. Well, have you ever heard like being nervous, being excited has the same physiological response? Mm-hmm. Sweating up, increased heart rate, cortisol goes up. Like it's literally your body does the same thing. Just how you frame it, it's up to you.
Yeah.
And then have you heard of priming? Or there's a fancy term for it, but like. When you learn something, you start seeing it in the world, or if you buy a punch bug, you start seeing them everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's like, dude, that's how manifestation works. You imagine something, all of a sudden, you're going to see the opportunities for whatever you're imagining out there.
I did that. I was randomly thinking of like I don't even know if it's definitely coincidence a lot of times, so sometimes it could actually be. Who knows?
What's that?
Just manifesting things. I got scared that I ran a red light and there's a cop behind me, and then I just started thinking about police for like nonstop. And I started noticing so many more of them.
That's priming,
like,
man.
Literally, I noticed so many. I couldn't stop thinking of them.
That's
so funny.
I
thought
so
that
funny.
One would have busted me.
That's
for,
so funny. Yeah,
I was
yeah.
like a second late on this light, and that's ultimately what I thought would have happened. So.
100%. Well, and have you ever heard of how the Golden Rule could tie into manifestation?
What's the golden rule?
Oh, the golden rule is
treat
others how you want to
be treated.
And I never thought about this. Is if you do that, you will manifest it what you want. If you give love, people often give love back. If you get very specific with this. If you want real estate, help people get real estate, and you will probably end up getting real estate at some point. You know what I mean? Like, you'll be around people that buy real estate. If you just fill in the blank. I'm telling you, it's almost like a law at this point. And I never thought of the two tying in, but they kind of do.
Yeah, I agree. That definitely
you know?
Happens.
And for people like, oh, Zev, you can't, if I want to be a neurosurgeon, I can't give people neurosurgery or I can't. But no.
That's called working hard.
You
can,
yeah, I was going to say, like, if you do help someone, maybe you go to school and help someone, you study with someone in school.
Yeah.
Like, you can find a way to provide value and you'll get that back.
Definitely. So.
I don't know, man. Food for thought.
That's that, right?
Anyways,
there.
Look at that. 31 minutes. So, yeah,
oh,
dude.
31 minutes? We've been here for 30 minutes then.
Just from talking. Just talking. Anyways, there you go, people. The one and only Tony. I might have to cut this up, and this will just be its own little thing, honestly. Jeez. Yeah. I didn't even ask for your prompt. I'm just like, I'm going to use your voice. That's so funny. Yeah, on something that generates zero income. Oh my gosh. Anyways, any final words?
Nothing.
All right.
To anyone listening, believe in yourself, number one.
He says believe in yourself. Easy, Tony. Well, there you have it, folks. I hope you enjoyed that. Remember, every Friday I will drop one of these. Tag along. I want you to keep tuning in. There will be more perspective and insight from people. And I hope you enjoyed that interview. I'll say goodbye because I talk too much. Shalom Aleichem. Take care, everyone.